got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it, so don't stop. And under the light.
Welcome back to Ward and L
on Canada Talks. Let's get into hour number two.
Hey, don't forget this weekend on Crystal Nation with Andrew Crystal, legendary Canadian broadcaster Peter Mansbridge sits down for an hour to talk about his life, his career, interviewing prime ministers, and more. Listen to Crystal Nation with Andrew Crystal Saturday at 5 p.m. Eastern, Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on Channel 167 Canada Talks. Crystal Nation, what a good brand.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I see what you did.
Yeah.
Took me a minute.
So that was just a nice little segue. Segway, also a really good brand.
Yes, excellent. You know who's an expert at branding and communicating and all things business? Our good friend, Evan Thompson. Oh, look, he's right here.
Hey.
Great to be back.
How are you?
Always great to have you.
I'm just enjoying this sunshine. I was thinking we might do a remote from a nearby parkette.
Do you know what? Here's the problem. I obviously, because I hate winter, so I love it. But at the same time, like, it makes me feel so upset.
It's weird.
Like, it's the end. It's the end times.
Dear listeners, for those of you that may be out there on the East Coast and still have your power out, I do want to say that it's 18 degrees right now and sunny here in Toronto.
Yeah.
Very unseasonably spring-like for the middle of February.
The environment is ruined and it's the end times, but it's a beautiful day. See how I have mixed feelings about it?
Everybody does have a spring in their step coming over here. I noticed people were moving just a little more slowly as they enjoyed their lunch and hung out. And
yeah.
Work sort of goes by the wayside on days like today.
A little bit. A little bit. And it should, right? Should it?
For a while.
It just doesn't hurt to take a break for a minute. All right. What are we... Listen, there's a story that we were going to talk about today that I can't believe is actually a story.
Yeah.
So Toronto and Halifax schools have banned cell phones in the classroom, which my first reaction was, when were cell phones allowed in the classroom and when did school get so lenient?
Yeah, no kidding.
The fun began back in 2007 when Apple introduced the first Apple iPhone.
Okay.
The Toronto District School Board then banned phones. And it wasn't until 2011 that they lifted the ban. And they suggested that cell phones were welcome as long as it was part of the class curriculum and it advanced learning in the classroom. Learning and engagement with the teacher and other classmates. Info share. By 2013... 240 schools across the board had Wi-Fi.
Really?
And yes.
Wow. I didn't know that.
The investment was made based on the fact that cell phones technology could advance learning.
Yeah. Well, they can.
They can in degrees, but I don't think anyone expected that. I mean, some of these numbers are just incredible. 25% of grade 4 students own cell phones.
Yeah.
And by the time they're in grade 11, 85% are packing a phone.
Yeah, I'm surprised that in grade 11 it's not higher.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not 99%. Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking back. I mean, grade 4, a cell phone. And that's even before Star Trek. I think that was a lot of people's first exposure to that sort of beam me up stuff. But it doesn't beam you anywhere. It just, in many ways, cuts you out of a conversation and commands your attention.
Well, here's my concern that in terms of learning. Because we talk a lot on the show about how people don't know how to vet a source anymore.
Yeah.
Right? They'll see something on the internet and go, well, this is true. It was on, it looked like an article on the internet. And part of what we were taught in school in writing papers and whatever was what is a legitimate source and what isn't, right? Which obviously has not transferred to the internet very well, but it was at least something that was taught. Now, I had an argument with someone who is in university, post-secondary education, about whether or not Wikipedia could be considered a citable source in a university paper. And my opinion was no. Anyway, you can go, I can go into Wikipedia right now and sign up and be like, well, I'll just change some documents. So
what?
So to me, my concern is that if we're letting kids bring their phones into classes because, oh, well, you can, there's educational stuff on there. You can do learning through the phone. Are they, though? Is that the best way to teach our kids?
So come up with a restriction. Have it where the kids can have, say, tablets. There's a far less texting and communication and all that. I mean, you can do that on a tablet. So I'm okay with Wi-Fi in schools if they're using their because I think eventually that's the way we're going to be going with textbooks anyway.
I don't even care about the Wi-Fi. If, right. You know what? If in between classes they want to check their phone, if on their lunch break they want to do... That's fine. I'm specifically talking in classroom.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
But I don't think they should have tablets either.
I think eventually that's the way, I think they're going to have tablets because I think eventually that's the way books are going to go in school. I think kids are going to be coming home with just a tablet. They're not going to be coming home with stacks of textbooks, right? So now maybe that's an assigned tablet that only has their textbooks on it and no Wi-Fi. Right? Like maybe that's going to be the thing that happens. But tablets are going to become more and more common in classrooms until they just become ubiquitous with with having a trapper keeper, having a notebook. Right? So I don't know. I agree with you, though, totally, absolutely on no phones in the classroom. I can't believe they were allowed phones in the classroom all this time. I would have always thought it's something that you've got to keep. Well, I mean, like you could keep in your on your person, but if it comes out, I'm taking it, right? I mean, that was anything that we had,
yeah,
extra as kids. I mean, you know,
teacher's desk went in the teacher's desk.
Yeah. So I would think that
am I 100 right now? Because no, I'm like, when no. I was a kid,
but it's
if
true.
We brought in a flipperty gibbert, the teacher took it and put it in her desk.
But it's true. We would come to school on the bus with our Game Boy, right?
I didn't have a Game Boy.
But we would play the Game Boy or whatever.
Richie Rich over here.
And then we weren't allowed to bring it out during class, right? There's all kinds of stuff you weren't allowed to bring out during class. So the cell phone. Now, I do understand the argument from some parents that say they want to be able to get a hold of their kid during lunch.
No, that's not an argument. What do you mean? How did we survive generations of not being able to reach your kid at lunchtime?
Some people did.
And all of a sudden, first of all, one parent is like, no, what if they need to reach me? There are phones in the school. I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know the kid can go to the office. That's what we had to do. Who are these parents that need to get in touch with their kids during lunch hour? And what is your sad life? Yeah, I said it. I'm sorry, Evan, you came on to talk about this and we've just been yelling.
No, this is so true. Part of my concern with overusing cells in the classroom is that it just extends an addiction that a lot of children have at, as I mentioned, you know, grade 4 and then grade 11, 85% of them have phones. It becomes part of their behavior. And it becomes really their security net, their mm-hmm. safety blanket, where they rely on it. For some very unfortunate reasons, mm-hmm. the biggest reason I call FOMO syndrome, fear of missing out syndrome.
Yep.
If they're not watching their feed constantly, they stand to perhaps be bullied or singled out or shamed.
Yeah.
And we know the disastrous effects that can bring.
Yeah.
So it's almost like they're packing almost a firearm or something because they feel they need to defend themselves and they don't want to relinquish it.
Yeah.
You mentioned Nova Scotia Herring Grove, I believe in Nova Scotia, 222 kids. And they tried a little experiment, no phones for a week. And it didn't go very well. 12 of the kids put up a real ruckus.
Yeah.
And the teachers literally had to take the phones from them and lock them up.
Yeah.
That's how dependent. And these are grade eighters.
Well, listen, I'll tell you this. I don't know that that's anything to be surprised about. Like, I think back to when I was in grade eight, if there was something we were allowed to have that all of a sudden the teachers were like, no, you can't have that now, give it to us, we all would have freaked out. Right? Like, if I was allowed to bring my Walkman to class and then one day they were like, no, you're not allowed now, like, we all would have been like, oh, they're infringing on our human rights. I think my...
It's true.
It's...
That bottom drawer. The bottom drawer at the teacher's desk.
Yeah. The big oak desk James says. With a key. Yeah.
But the thing to me is... Don't get me wrong. Well, obviously, we have to incorporate technology as things change, right? Of course. But it's that reliance solely on one thing that to me is the concern, right? Is that kids have to be able to have, like, I don't want to be negative Nelly on this beautiful day and once again bring up the end times. But you have to have skills outside of that phone. You have to know how to learn things outside of the phone. You have to know how to do things without being able to always Google them.
It's rather like having a so-called library, say you're a kid. And
sure.
Time was you used to have maybe 12 or 15 books that you would rotate and read and enjoy and share with your friends. Now you have a device that has everything you need to do your assignments, to study, to communicate, to stay safe.
So we need someone like Al to be Tyler Durden and bring down the entire system and destroy the internet.
Well,
I'm not going to do that.
I'm sure you have some allies. Without going into a lot of detail, there's research that shows students who don't get hooked on phones, i.e. they're taken out of the classroom for 1 year, do better, especially if they're struggling with their studies or they're disturbed in some way. The cell phone activity can be very negative to underachieving children. And this was borne out in 2015 across London. 61 high schools were tracked. They took phones out. And the students who didn't do well earlier did much better.
So that's really interesting.
No cell, higher performance across the board. Higher academic performance.
It actually doesn't surprise me because I look at myself, a person who's made his living being creative, whether it's writing or whatever, and I look at how little I get done now because of my social media presence. Part of that I need for my career, but a lot of it is just me wasting time. It's me talking nonsense on the internet with people. And I look at how little I get done compared to I used to read a book every week or, I used to write every night and sit down and create things. And my email was something I checked a couple of times a day. And then once I got it at my fingertips, once it became something I can check constantly, once conversations online were things that went on for days and days and hours, you know what I mean? I look now at my own productivity and it's gone down drastically.
You mean things maybe not getting done around the house or maybe, getting distracted when you're in a group of people because you're just thinking of that text that you're waiting for because you want to line something up for later in the day.
Yep.
And you're thinking later in the day. You're not in the moment.
Yeah. And it's a great, listen, sometimes, I should do that right now. Oh, you know what? I'm just going to play one round of Candy Crush and then I'm going to do the thing. But then also maybe I'm just going to buy some more lives and then play one more round of Candy Crush.
It's funny how we tell.
And then I'll do the thing.
It's funny how we make the joke about the kids on their video game consoles, get out and enjoy the day, get out and play, get out and do all this stuff. We as adults aren't enjoying ourselves. We're stuck to our own console that we carry around in our pockets all the time.
Yep.
You know, when I leave the house in the morning, I always check to make sure I've got the device.
Yep.
And I can be 200 yards or 300 yards away, and if I don't have it, I will go back to the house and find it.
You have to.
I feel as if I'm not wearing shoes or something, you know, without the thing.
It's just that, again, everything's in there. So when I was in Australia, one of the first things I did was leave my phone in an Uber when I was going to the airport to fly from Sydney to Melbourne. And so I didn't realize till I was checking in for my flight. And then I was like, oh, man, I don't have my phone. And so now, luckily, I managed to get in touch with my Uber driver, who was the nicest man. And he mailed it to me in Melbourne. But for about a week, I didn't have a phone. And now if I lose my phone when I'm in Toronto and I'm working and stuff, I just go get another phone because I need it. But I was in Australia. I don't, what am I going to do,
that,
right?
That wasn't stressful.
Do you know what? I mean, it was a little bit stressful.
Crazy.
But, so for a week I didn't have a phone. And what was interesting, here are some things I learned. Number one, you'd be surprised at how easy it is to find a payphone. Like, why? I think we don't notice them most of the time. There aren't as many as there used to be. But I, like, just, you go to a train station or a public, go to a subway station, right? Always going to be, there's always going to be a phone. The other thing is that it's really clocks that we don't have anymore. No one builds a clock in a building, right? Like, no one, there's no, no one's sharing the time with you anymore. But what I found was the sense of accomplishment I had of being able to get around, and because I had to take trains back and forth between two places because I was visiting two friends, and I've got to meet up with people and I've got to do all this stuff and I've got to do it without having that constant communication. And I did it. And at when I got the phone back, I was like, guys, I just traveled like it was 1995 for a whole week and still alive. What? I don't know what my point was. Because I did have one, but
you probably not to put words in your mouth, but it may be that you felt a little bit of a sense of relief.
Oh yeah, we can do it.
We
don't
think
we
call.
Can.
It's like having a pager on your hip, and when those things buzz, they buzz.
But so, like one of the days in Sydney, I was by myself and I was just walking around, and I wasn't paying attention to where I was going because then I can just open Google Maps and it will show me where my hotel is, and then GPS where I am, and I go, oh, okay, now I go this way. And so it is a different skill set, though, in the sense of like, oh, I have to pay attention now. Oh, I actually have to show up on time because I can't text the person and say it is a different skill set. And I think kids that are getting too reliant on their phone. And as one girl in Halifax said, she felt scared without it. That's not cool.
That's a very strong emotion because, you know, when you're scared, you can't really function properly. You're fearful
of
everything.
You make bad decisions.
And it just deepens the addiction to this phone. And she's in grade 8.
Yeah.
Which is really scary. This is perhaps equally scary. I was walking home from the office the other night, and I found embedded in a pile of snow a cell phone. And it was just in the path of a bus that was coming. And I grabbed the cell phone. Someone had dropped it. I somehow was able to open it. And I tracked the person down. She came to the house. And she was so grateful. You'd think I had really rescued her from a burning building.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because her role was so key. And this is an interesting, I think, an interesting thought around security. She had her company secrets on that phone.
But not a password?
Somehow what she was doing, she was texting and she was running for a bus or something and she dropped the thing. But anyway, there she was exposed to the world and I happened to pick it up and I,
well, someone needs to review security procedures with her.
Well, I did contact her office and I got 3 calls that night from senior management saying, thank you. By the way, how did you get in? How did you find her?
Yeah.
And I don't know if she got a
fired.
Big hug on Monday morning when she showed up.
Evan, you gave her the phone back, but now she doesn't have a job.
No. Hey, now, listener James says that he says our kid has says the Wi-Fi at their school has firewalls so they can't surf what they want.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing because we now all have these personal computers on our person. And that's not going to change. That's not going away. If anything, it's going to become more and more prevalent. And like I said, we're going to start using tablets as opposed to textbooks. Mm-hmm. That's going to be the thing. I imagine they will have Wi-Fi on it because then the teacher can send updates to you on the tablet. You know, I will now be beaming you the notes or whatever or blah, blah, blah. That's going to start happening if it hasn't happened already. You know, so I do like the idea. My wife and I now, our rule is no phones at the table. We've started doing that. And as my daughter gets older, that'll be good because I have a three-year-old daughter who's never known a time without cell phones. So my three-year-old goes, that's mommy's phone. That's daddy, right? It's not this thing to her. It's mommy's phone and daddy's phone. She's never known a time without cell phones. So we've begun to see what that looks like for her to see us staring at these things all the time.
Well, the bar will continue to be raised. You know, we have friends with very young children. They're into deep math. What's deep math? It sounds like a deep dive.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I know it's pretty technical. It's certainly beyond a lot of adults. And coding. Coding is the new social skill.
But yeah. It should be.
I think it's essential, but coding, coding is obviously very complex. It used to be the domain of rocket scientists.
Sure.
Who no one could understand. But now it's like making the hockey team or making the soccer team. It's expected. And that puts so much pressure, in my view, on children as they try and make their way and engage with their friends and build relationships. Their relationships are with their devices.
Yeah. I'm not, obviously, I don't have kids because I'm awesome. And so I don't know what it's like for kids in the classroom today. And so I don't really know what the situation is. I only know that one of the teachers that was talked to in this situation that I think kind of instigated this happening was talking about how kids are basically just Snapchatting and Instagramming in their class. So it's like, listen, if you can make a case for really honest, like, educational integration of a phone, that might be one thing. But yeah, it's this, to me, it doesn't sound like that's what's happening. And it doesn't sound like we're enriching, using this new technology to help enrich the kids' education. This is note passing for the 21st century. We used to have to be so sneaky about that. People are creative.
You could write things on the bottom of your shoes.
I had a fake eraser. I had a fake eraser that was hollow, and you put the note in it, and then you just act like you're passing the person the eraser.
Oh, and now it's all done in cyberspace.
Yes, but come on. Kids don't know. They don't know how hard life was.
I wonder what teachers can do faced with this. There's so many different opinions, and there's so many news items about the teacher at the front of the class, and no one's paying attention. There's no conversation. The kids are just...
Teachers already have such an impossible job that...
Listener, Doug says, can all parents afford the cell phone cost? If they can't, now here's the peer pressure.
Oh, 100%.
He said, look at this. You got three kids. The lowest cost is $65 a month. That's over $200 per month pre-tax. These are expensive toys. And says, Al, not bad thinking for a lady who doesn't want kids.
I don't want to brag, Doug. Ladies who don't want kids can think too. Oh, yay.
I say keep the phones out of school too. I mean, I really
do. It
doesn't
do. Make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
We have to take a break.
Yeah,
we're overdue for a break, skis. It's just we have so much fun with this man. Evan Thompson. Personal branding and communications expert. And we will be back right after this. You're listening to Ward Now, Channel 167.
Hey, it's Anthony Fury. Coming up on Friday's National Post Radio, we're checking in on the fallout from Marine Le Pen refusing to wear a headscarf to meet with Muslim religious leaders in Lebanon. I say, good on her. That's on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167, 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern.
This is Ward and Al on Canada Talks.
We are talking to our good friend Evan Thompson. He is a branding and communications expert. We've been talking about cell phones in school. Some schools are banning cell phones in school, and that surprised Al and I because we didn't know that they allowed them in the first place. And through that, we've been talking about, you know, our own experiences. I said that we've got a no phones at the table rule in my family now. And that, by the way, that's the entire family. That's not just me and my wife, and we have a daughter. That means when we have, and once a week, we have a family dinner with the extended family where there's like 10 of us. And no phones. That's the rule.
You know, an interesting point was brought up about the concept of parents that can't afford cell phones for every kid. And that's something, I think that's an aspect of it that probably this makes it easier for those parents and those kids. Mm-hmm. But hasn't probably really been talked about too much before now because it's just cell phone culture has just sort of creeped up on everybody. But yeah, it's got to be, those kids have to be ostracized in some way, you would think, by the other kids if they don't have a phone.
They do. They often do feel on the fringes because conformity is everything, yeah, as a young person, mm-hmm, in most cases. In New York City, for example, which has a huge population of public school students, there's 1.1 million of them. It's been a huge debate over the years about whether phones should be banned or accepted because it creates tension in the classroom. You have children from families who cannot afford groceries, let alone phones.
Yeah.
But the phone is social currency,
yeah,
for these kids. And if they don't have a phone, they miss out.
Yeah.
They miss out and their self-esteem suffers. And then not forgetting that these phones are used to advance learning in the classroom. I mean, they do their assignments, they can research. It's not all chatter.
Right.
And it puts them at a real disadvantage. And if they're not good learners to begin with, then they're often in really deep trouble because they feel that tool is evading them. They don't have access. It's like the locked school ground.
Yeah, for public schools, should something like that be relied upon in a classroom when it's not provided by the school?
I think back to Al's thought about tablets. Tablets being Ward. Yeah, I know you. I know you too. I remember you.
We all look the same to you, Evan. I get it.
It's the microphones.
Tablets.
Yeah.
I think really will solve a lot of this.
Right.
A lot of these conundrums. I think subsidized tablets, subsidized education will become a reality.
I'm actually surprised Apple hasn't made a deal with schools.
Well, I imagine they've tried to and they haven't come to. It seems like something that someone has tried to do that just hasn't come to fruition.
It's a very divisive issue. Mm. And Apple does a ton of charitable work to advance learning, you know, with all their myriad of products. And they get a lot of good feedback that benefits them in the development, you know, down the road.
Right.
But I really feel that so much depends on the vibe in the classroom between the teacher and the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying you have to be engaging children for the entire hour to be a good teacher. Teachers teach in different ways. But if you can garner the attention, the trust of the students, then cell phones may cease to be such a huge problem. But it's very hard if you've got a classroom of 30 kids, mm-hmm, all sorts of distractions, all sorts of things on their mind. How do you hold their attention?
But
you have to make rules.
I feel like that has been the thing forever, is the vibe of the teacher is how the, because there was no cell phones when I was going to school. But yeah, some teachers you're like, no, we don't respect this one. And then other teachers you're like, oh yeah, we're paying attention. So I think that has always had a lot to do with keeping the kids on track. But I can see how phones make things just a little bit more unruly.
Well, you made the comment that teaching is a difficult profession, and no matter how committed you are to your craft and to your children and your parents, it is more difficult. There's so many more moving parts.
Yeah. So what's going to happen here? Is this the end of the public school system as we know it? It is the end times, so maybe that's a good thing. We don't have to figure it out.
If I could predict, I think the research showing the relationship between academic performance and reliance on cell phones will bear out the fact that students perform better when they are engaging with each other, with the teacher, and not distracted, that they can actually have the conversation. And I think tablets, as Ward has said, will take the day.
Yeah.
I think cell phones will be used between classes to contact parents at lunch, but it won't be as valuable to the students, you know, in the learning situation.
Also, maybe let your kids just go a whole day without talking to you. Well, that to me is the weirdest argument.
Yeah,
all the parents that are going, well, what? I want to be
in touch with them during lunch.
One parent said, it's nice to be able to reach them at lunchtime. Is it? Why? What are you doing? What's going on?
You know, that's a really good point. I've said all along, it drives me crazy. I turn off my phone in the movies. And I've come out and I've had people going, dude, I've been trying to reach you for 2 hours. I'm like, I was in a movie. There was a time reachable during a movie when we weren't reachable for a couple hours. That's a really good point, Al, that, you know, your kid's just not reachable during school.
If I had called my mom during the day at her work for, and like, just, what's up, mom? She would have been like, why are you calling me? Like, the idea of just, oh, we check in at lunchtime? What do you mean? My mom would be like, I'm busy. Go away.
Yeah.
I believe the stresses of life cause parents to be even more vigilant in the care and feeding of their kids. Witness the helicopter syndrome.
Yeah.
Where the parent's circling, watching every move that the child makes. And I'm not suggesting that they just let them run free as if it's 1950 again.
No, but...
but
Listener James says when his kids call, it's because they want money.
Yeah.
Said it's good to go the whole day without talking to a kid.
100%.
But you know what? It all kind of goes hand in hand. It's the helicopter parenting thing. I think a lot of that is because of, people think it's just because of liberal attitudes towards parenting. And I don't think that's what it is. I think it's another thing that technology has done to us. Technology and social media and all these things has made us worry more about our kids. It makes us think they're in more danger than they're in. It makes us, you know, want to track them constantly. It makes them want to be in touch with them constantly. Because we're already like that to each other. Like I said, me going into a movie and a friend of mine bitching about not hearing from me for 2 hours, right? So you've got that. You've got, I think, we're not just helicopter parents. We're helicopter people now.
We want certainty in uncertain and stressful times.
Right.
We say we're adventuresome and we like doing new things and we all have bucket lists and we want to expand our horizons, but we do like the routine. We like to know that each morning at 6:45, you know, a friend is going to tweet confirming what time you and your dog will arrive at the park for a run or something.
Yeah, right? It's just weird because we've never had that much certainty.
Mm-mm.
Right? And
the person I admire most about that is you, Al. I mean, you're one of those people that I've texted you something and then I know now, you and I've known each other long enough, it may be 3-4 hours before I hear from you, or the next day you may give me an answer to my text when I run into you. You're not, you more than most people aren't as married to your phone as
I lose my phone a lot. Every day.
But you also put it aside and I'll check it.
That's why I put it aside and I forget about it. Like every day I say to Cassandra when I'm leaving, I go, what did I do with my phone? And she's like, why do you never know where it is? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I go home and I got back from Australia on Friday. On Saturday, I got food poisoning. So my mom was calling me to see how I was on Sunday. But my phone was not next to me. Yeah. Like I was busy dying. I didn't have time. So I find my phone when I finally got up, and there's like six missed calls from my mom, and I was like, yeah, I...
For the record, your co-host also wanted to know if you were okay and sent you a message.
All right. So it's one of those things where I don't feel like I need to constantly, and I get really annoyed if someone texts me and then is like, why didn't you respond? I'm like, excuse me? I'm not on your timeline. Just because I have a phone doesn't mean I have to look at it. All right?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's absolutely true.
Evan, I am not available to you at all times, okay?
Oh, that's acceptable. I can appreciate
that.
All
right. No, I'm glad you get it.
You know, speaking of available at all times, one of the articles I read talks about children. This is in Nova Scotia who go to sleep with their phones on because they don't want to miss anything. Again, back to FOMO.
Yikes.
Not wanting to be set up, not wanting a little back talk behind your back,
it's
a little whispering. You have to stay on it. You have to protect your brand at all costs in grade 8.
That's
I think that is absolutely pathetic.
It's time to put some whiskey in that Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Or take something and turn it off and go to sleep if you know you're anxious. Or talk to your parents.
Hold on, Mr. Interloper, getting into my family business. Talk to my children. Talk to my kids. Thanks a lot, Mr. Hippy Dippy, Mr. Liberal, Mr. Commie. I guess that's what they do in your little communist little retreat, little haven somewhere.
I don't know. It got
you all
weird
get
in
together
here.
And you sit around and you talk to each other.
It's called sharing.
I think so. I think the consensus that we've come to is there's a lot more talk to be done about the effect that these hand computers are having on our kids and in our lives, and the best way to handle it.
And how can we manage the situation so it doesn't escalate to the point that we're characters out of 1984?
Yeah.
I'm starting to come around on Al.
Where we're,
I think the end times are near, man.
I'm not wrong.
I'm starting to come around. All right, Evan.
Just because they're starting doesn't mean it's over tomorrow, Evan. Don't look scared. It could be like 30 years of end times.
You're in the news business. I just was a little concerned you might know something I don't.
Oh,
should I be preparing?
Let's not say I'm in the news business. I'm in the opinion business. It's very different.
Fine line.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, don't we know it? Evan Thompson and Associates, check them out online and at C-Suites Prospects. Always good having you, pal.
Thank you very much.
And we will see you again soon. And we'll come back and check in with our buddy Jamie Sturgeon. After this, you're listening to Ward Now, Channel 167, Canada Talks. Serve your own needs, beat it up, an ox beat, grunt, no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear, bite down, high. Patriotic, slam, bite, bright, light, feeling pretty.
Stand by. There's more Ward and Al after this.